Welcome, welcome, ladies. I'm here with Melissa Crosset, who is a gut health expert, and she's going to tell us about her own journey to gut health and how women can be disregarded sometimes by the medical profession, but can find their way back through really, really learning how to self-care. So, welcome, welcome, Melissa.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to be here. This is exciting. A great topic to talk about.
Yes. So tell us how you got started in your business.
Well, it kind of came about because I got tired of going to the doctor and being dismissed for how I felt and symptoms I was having. I was puffy. Yes, I was overweight, but I was puffy. And I could understand that difference because growing up, I had a cousin who ended up having several kidney transplants. And so he would be puffy when he was on that medication, as opposed to in between when he wasn't on that medication to prevent the rejection of these organs, right? So I definitely knew that slight difference. I also hurt. My joints hurt so bad. As a classroom teacher, it's very important to be able to use your fingers on all sorts of things, writing, scissors, the whole thing. And it hurt to do this. Where I was envisioning to get through the day in the classroom was putting my hands in bowls of ice so that it didn't hurt. I mean, my whole body hurt, but this hurt the most because I was trying to use the most, right? And every time I would go to the doctor, whether it was my OBGYN or my primary, and it was, oh, yeah, well, you're at that age. Well, you should try. Well, and they were great female doctors, but that's what Western medicine does. And at one point, my primary looked at me and she goes, I have a couple patients. And this is what they've been trying. Why don't you give that a try? And it was going gluten-free, which at that time, there wasn't as much information out there. And I was like, what is that? So I knew two people that had talked about that they were going through figuring out their food allergies. So I reached out to them. I was still eating a lot of highly processed foods and trying to go gluten-free because if you go down the aisles, you will see gluten-free, gluten-free. And then I stumbled upon some information that really, really dug deep and how to live a healthy gluten-free lifestyle. And that just kept getting deeper and deeper. I also had a lot of female issues. And when I would go to the OBGYN and say, I can feel blood clots leaving me, and let alone I'm standing in front of a bunch of third graders and I can't run to the bathroom, right? And it hurts. And she's like, what do you mean? And so I finally was able to get a young doctor who graciously talked to me, and I was able to get a full hysterectomy. And I have never looked back since. Oh, it was amazing, right? But I had to fight for that. And it seems like every good thing I've done, I've had to fight for. So, leaving the classroom, what I wanted to do was to be able to help other women of a particular age, especially, mostly Gen X, but around that, where you're starting to go into perimenopause. And the doctor might be telling you, oh no, that's not a thing. Don't worry about that. Or you're hitting menopause or you're postmenopause because your needs as women have changed your hormones, your body, what food it likes, all that good stuff. So, also as women, here's the thing, we're busy. Whether we're still at that teenage years raising children, which is busier when they were little, sheesh. We're after that, and it's just ourselves, and we're trying to learn how to cook for just us, or maybe us and a partner, or beyond that. You want to go out and explore and go out to eat and eat good food. And how do you do that? So, I like just, I want to help people, right? That as a teacher, as a mom, I want to help people to be their best selves. But how do you do that? You have to be your own advocate, in this case, for your health. And we have our lifestyles that we live, and it can be very overwhelming because, like, my doctor will just go gluten-free. And I'm like, how do you do that? Well, you just cut out bread. Well, it's a bit more than that, right? But feeling that overwhelm, and we don't need to do that. Life is overwhelming enough. So I advocate one small change at a time, because like in Atomic Habits, he talks, one small change in your habit and eventually it's going to snowball and compound, and you're going to look back and go, wow, that was actually easier than I thought.
That's brilliant. One small change at a time, because yes, we are in different phases of our lives. Speaking as a Gen Xer, different phases of your lives, we find things to fill up. It's like our life is like we're digging this hole. It's not the most pleasant analogy, but yes. We dig a hole and the sand keeps falling in. So there's always something to be busy about. And even though you're thinking in your mind, okay, I got to eat healthy, I got to plan my meals, I've got to find the right things at the supermarket. And then you go to the supermarket and let's say you're having a busy day, that's gone. You just get what you usually get.
Right.
And you're just promoting one small change at a time. That's doable.
Correct. Very doable. Very simplistic. I don't want to say easy, because that's why having someone help you with that, even within a group setting or one-on-one, because via Zoom, I can come in your kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. I can help you. I can sit with you and we can go, okay, here's the menu planning. I love menu planning. Certainly when I was in the classroom, it absolutely became vital, menu planning and meal prepping, because when I got home at night and I was done dealing with 25 to 30 third graders and their families and administration and cohorts, and I didn't want to think. I just want to be able to throw healthy meals together and also allow myself one special meal, because our family was very into pizza. I found a good pizza place that was gluten-free, and I call it the adult pizza because it's all veggies on top with a couple meats. and that was the time to splurge, so to speak, to go out, and it was good. It was still healthy and good for me, right?
Yeah.
Even though it's a pizza, it's a little, but it wasn't giving up that.
No. Well, it was allowing yourself space.
And right.
I think that's so much. So very important when you start eating healthy, because I find so many coaches, you know, they want you to be 24/7, eat this, do this. And I see the people that go to the gym like 6 days a week. I'm like, that's not even healthy mentally. I mean, come on.
You know, and I talk about movement because a lot of us, like right now, I don't want to go outside at 100 degree heat. In this area, right? Because it's like, ooh. But I try to go out early morning. I try to go out in the evening at least 10 minutes to be able to get movement, because I can recognize it's really hard right now. But I also do some simple movements in, you know, next to my computer. So I'll work for so long, I'll get up and move. So it's just some small tweaks. Now, I will have to tell you, I do have to set reminders on my phone to get up and move. It's not an automatic thing. But your nutrition, your movement are two things that are just really easy just to make one small change, one tweak. And sometimes maybe you're like, hey, let's do two, because you're feeling empowered, you're feeling successful. And that's important.
Yeah, that is great. Tell us more, like making this one small change. And you specialize in gut health. And we've all heard of it. And maybe we think we know what that means. But tell us more about what that means.
So your gut is your second brain, and your gut specifically is your small and large intestines. But our whole digestive system starts at our mouth and goes all the way down through our digestive process
and this
to the heart growth. And our gut is interconnected with our brain. So they talk to each other.
Oh,
absolutely. They go back and forth between each other for multiple different things. As simple as, hey, you're full, to, that was really good sugar. You need more. It's all connected, right? And you also have that inflammation that happens when your brain's saying, okay, you ate something in your belly and that wasn't cool. What was that? So they're talking to each other all the time. Your small intestines do one job. Your large intestines have a microbiome that is their own. And that is where all the bacteria are that really breaks down your food. And we have good and bad bacteria, and you have to have a certain balance of that. You can't have no bad bacteria. You have to have a balance. So you should have 80% good and you should have 20% bad. Okay. But with the, they call it the standard American diet, the SAD diet, it's opposite. So you have 80% bad, 20% good. So that's highly processed foods. I know growing up in the 70s, 80s, Twinkies, Hi-Hos, Ding-Dongs, ice cream all the time, boxed cakes, highly processed pasta, you know, all those different things. And let's not talk about Wonder Bread. I ate Wonder Bread until I like crafting and doing things. And found out that if you added glue to Wonder Bread, it kind of turned into a kind of a porcelain thing. And I thought, oh, I'm putting that in my body. What?
Coca-Cola.
You know, yep. That's another thing. Oh, and even though you know, sometimes it's hard to get away from that because you have to replace what is it that you're craving from that? Are you craving the memories that you have? Well, I laugh at Hi-Hos, but I have no desire to have any. But I have a memory connected with that, right? Because my mom would pick apart the chocolate and how she was so, and I would just watch her like, just eat it. But it has a special place as a memory, a childhood memory. Chocolate chip cookies. I used to make those every Saturday morning when, you know, Saturday morning cartoons were a thing and you'd all gather around because that was the time it was on. And that's what my brother and I would eat for Saturday morning breakfast. Well, obviously not really the best thing as every week, but there's that memory. And now I can, I have adapted that into something else and I still can kind of keep that memory to go, oh, this reminds me of when.
The confidence.
But it's healthier.
Healthier. Okay. So I like what you're saying. You're saying that we don't have to just throw away and say, no, don't ever eat chocolate chip cookies. We can work a way around it to substitute it into something that is healthy, but still has that memory attached to it. Right. And I would just say that in my travels, because I've lived a bit in Asia and I've lived a bit in Europe, and one of the things that amazed me is that people enjoyed eating. They loved food. And the food, a lot of those foods are the foods that we say, no, every year. There's something that's so bad for you, you should never touch it. And I find in America, it's a very much culture of don't. So no matter what you eat, you feel guilty.
Right, and joy, and like you said, you should have joy in eating what you're eating. It should taste good. It should be a delight to your senses. And you should feel good, like I'm enjoying this. Now, if I go out to an Italian place and they have some really good gluten-free pasta. I am not denying myself that experience, right? But I'm going to make sure I'm going to set myself up for success also. I'm going to ask them, hey, can I order a side of veggies with that? And I'm going to eat my vegetables first, and not necessarily the salad, because some of the salads I'm like, that's it, that's all a salad. Ooh. So that I can eat my veggies first. It starts that digestive system. It fills up my stomach before I start eating pasta. And then I know I have another meal I can take home with me, just saying. But I can enjoy it and I don't feel bad.
Good.
So those are things that just small little tweaks. You can still go out. My favorite, gluten-free and worried about cross-contamination. Buffet style things, I'm really like, I don't do. I didn't do before but too much, but I don't do because there's too much cross contamination happening, which means somebody's going to use the utensil to serve the salad to also serve the pasta, which has a wheat product in it. And then they're going to put that back into the salad, and I'm going to come along and use it. And now I'm going to have some cross contamination. Or because of how they're set up, the food drops into it, and then somebody goes around and picks it all out. But now it's been cross-contaminated, and I could potentially have a reaction to that. Now, I am not celiac, but I could have, and I just don't want to. I want to be able to enjoy my food without worrying about it being getting me sick. And so there are certain things that I don't, but you know what? Mediterranean buffets, they are amazing. They are so on making sure everything is exact and so far apart. I don't have to worry about that, let alone the food is from real food. It's
Real
not highly
food.
processed.
Yes, and that's one of the things that I wanted to mention when I was saying about the living in other countries. If I mean, some people don't eat meat. Okay, in America, we're here, don't eat meat, don't eat carbohydrates, don't eat that, don't eat sweets. But I would say in Asia, when they're eating the fish and they're eating the meat, that was living, you know. Creature that they did not ship it for hundreds of miles, and they did not inject it with anything, and so it was fresh. And then in Italy, with the fresh vegetables and the pasta made by hand, and the cheese, I had to kind of run along with the cheese because the cheese is it's still milky. It's like gonna, fade in my hand. And so you're putting in these things that just came straight from Mother Earth, and no processes in between them. So they can eat these, and you're looking at them and like, why are we telling ourselves no? Oh, and I had to add French and also Italian eating chocolate for breakfast. But what kind of chocolate is it?
When I was 16, I got to go to Paris, right? The school trips, you got to go to Paris. And growing up in America, you need to drink milk. You need to drink milk. And it was like, it's disgusting. I didn't like it. And going over to Europe and drinking milk there is like a whole nother experience. It's good. And
You're
I
right.
did not have the same reaction. But the hot chocolate in the morning with the croissant. But I can't eat a croissant here. Now, here's the thing. I have heard that you can go in Europe or other countries and eat the bread and not get sick with gluten intolerances because of the way it is processed, because of the way that it is planted, because of the way it is raised, because of the way it is processed. I haven't had that experience to be able to do that yet. But I follow some people and they have had that experience. But their chocolate is not full of sugar. And it is amazing.
I like what you said about the milk there, because my parents tried to desperately to get me to drink milk here, and I could not. My stomach would, and then one day, I guess the milk was on sale, so I bought a little bottle of milk in Italy, and because I was just going to cook with it, and then I didn't, so I said, let me just taste it. Drank the whole bottle and felt no queasiness. Egg as well. I didn't feel that queasiness that I usually get when I eat those foods here. It's amazing.
Well, and that's why there's that big push with organic foods and having that label and making sure that the farmers, whether it's with agriculture crops in the field or with animals, it are following that so that you know you're getting something that is good for you. Unpasteurized milk. I was raised in an agriculture community, and one of my best friends, her grandparents were very dairy farmers, and I was at her house, and we had the opportunity, because you're a dairy farmer, to try some unpasteurized milk. Now, I have to say, our first reaction was like, "Oh, that's kind of weird," but thinking back on it, it was more like Europe than what we're used to here.
So, all right. So, gut health, one step at a time, one small change at a time.
Right. And then you also have to think of eating good food is self-care, is the best self-care that you can do. And you deserve to enjoy it too, because who wants to eat boiled chicken? I remember back in the day they talked about, oh, to eat healthy for your cholesterol, you can't. Why would you get rid of the spices? That makes things taste delicious and everything. Like,
It's
hello, there's.
like the trend. Like I
Yes.
remember in the 80s, there was one time they came on the news, they were like, don't eat apples because of ABC. And I was like, what? And then the next time it was no bananas, then it was bananas, and then it was try these special berries. It has always been no culture of food. And to go abroad and see people eat food and just really enjoy it for the first time, I was. They enjoy food. They have a lot less health problems. Now, there are some things that are off balance, but I noticed some of the natural foods that they eat balance that. Some of the probiotics, we call it probiotics, and we're here taking all these pills to get it, but they have it in every meal, something that brings about that gut health. How can we do that here in a world that is constantly bombarded by processed foods?
One thing that you mentioned is eating as close to nature as you can. So when you take that potato and let's say, because it's just easy for example, you mash it down into mashed potatoes. You've now processed it, right? You've cooked it, you've smushed it down, you've added things. So, but that's a normal processing to be able to eat in a very loving way, a root vegetable straight from the ground, basically. But now, when you go to the store and you eat potato chips, that's highly processed because it's gone through a huge, it's gone through a factory basically, and it's gone through all sorts of different things. And most chips are not done very well as far as health wise. So then you get that benefit from eating that potato slightly processed, but now you have that highly processed. And a lot of highly processed foods were taken over after World War II, and there is no food in there. It's all chemicals, it's all nutrients added. And that doesn't do anything for your body. And you eat that for so many years, your body starts telling you, screaming at you, I'm not healthy. I don't like this. Please, please do some adjustment. So I don't want to go, oh, it's not our fault compared to how Europe eats, but we can make some simple changes too. We want to eat as close to nature and we want to be able to enjoy our food. We want spices. We want to be able to say, ooh, this tastes good. Let's have this again instead of going, oh, I don't want to eat that. There is a process. You have to allow yourself grace. Think of all the creamers that you see at the grocery store for your coffee or tea, if you do creamer in your tea. If you read the ingredients, the majority of them, there's not one natural thing in them. So maybe going from that very highly processed creamer, you go to a creamer that there's actually some cream or nut milk or something in there. And then a few other things that you're like, I'm not sure what these are. But you've made that one step to something a little bit healthier. But not taking away the enjoyment of having cream in your coffee. Because you going to totally black coffee, which is really very healthy for you, is a process, right? And I've gone through that. I now drink very healthy black coffee. I don't buy my coffee in the store because of how it's processed, the stuff that's usually in the store, right? So there's just different layers to it and simple things to do. But in my head, I always ask myself, how close to nature is this food? If it's pretty close, I'm doing something healthy for me without feeling guilty about it. Because you just can't. You can't, you know? The other thing is here in America, we tend not to drink enough water. There's a lot of soda pop, depending what part of the country you're from. And it's not good for you. It's all chemicals. It's just all chemicals. You can't get around that. Your taste buds and your brain are addicted to that sugar that is in those drinks. So how do you do it? Well, you replace one with 8 ounces of water. Put some fruit, veggies in it so it tastes like something. Also, quality water makes a big difference. If you have a water filter, it really helps too.
So I from what I hear you saying, it's just taking that journey, step by step, moving away from the one thing that you were kind of craving or addicted to that was a bad habit, and slowly adjusting to things that are more healthier and more healthier choices. Yeah. And doing that one at a time, which is so manageable. I like that. I like that. And then, as I said, the probiotics, I've tried to make my own. And then it sat there in the fridge. I was like, oh, man, I've got to eat this by mashing up the vegetables and pickling them. Because in Asia, every meal had that. When I was in Japan, every meal had pickled vegetables. And I was like, why are you doing this to the vegetables? And then I realized this is good for you. It balances out. Sometimes it balanced out the alcohol that they were drinking. Right. And Korea, they have a lot of kimchi every meal, which is full of nutrients, garlic, probiotics, all kinds of, even some peppers, which is actually good for you in moderation. Wow. So these styles of eating are so balanced. And yes. Somehow we've got off that track.
So I've not tried to make my own. I've looked at the recipes for kimchi or pickled stuff. And it's just like, I like to make a lot of things my own. That's not, I'm just not there yet. Or maybe I won't ever be there. But you can go to the store and you can find those healthy options. Obviously, Whole Foods has some really great stuff. Trader Joe's has some really great stuff. But your local grocery store might too. You just have to look for it. And then you have to watch how it's made. You'll have to look at the ingredients. Because a lot of the pickled stuff has sugar in it. And it shouldn't have any sugar in it. That's not how you pickle something. So I've been, you know, looking at Walmart, trying to find some stuff because it's a very small Walmart where I'm at. And it's just very frustrating because it's like sugar, sugar, sugar. No, I don't want the sugar in there. Right. But then it's a simple, like you were saying in Europe, they just have it at every meal. So then you just add it into whatever you're eating at every meal and it just becomes a habit. I love kimchi. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's so easy just to scoop it out and throw it in to a salad. And I do bowls instead of salads. So I put everything into a bowl and then I eat it like that and a little bit of kimchi in there and it's just amazing. I'm trying to think what else. You add it. You get used to adding it. Sauerkraut is a really easy thing. Once you get over your hang up, if you have a hang up about in your mind about what sauerkraut is and should
I
be.
used to. And then now I'm like, actually, that's the best part of the hot dog at the baseball game. That is
Yes.
the healthiest part. Now I
Yeah.
get it. So I just want to talk a little bit more about your journey. You talked about your hands not being able to open and close your hands and you suffering with the perimenopause, menopause. What happened after you started these changes to your diet?
So I was overweight. I didn't dispute that. I was. Within 3 to 4 weeks, people were coming up to me and saying, "What did you do? Have you lost any weight?" Which I hadn't lost any weight, nothing. I hadn't done anything other than trying to figure out how to get gluten out of my diet. Nothing. And the inflammation in my body started reducing that much that I looked like I had lost weight. And it became easier to use my hands. That was immediately the thing I noticed because I used them all the time as a teacher, right? I mean, we use our fingers and hands all the time as humans, but and that to me was just like, huh, that's really weird. When I went back to the doctor, because I didn't go to the doctor very often, but because of little germ factories that I worked with, I would go once a year with strep throat. And so I went, she goes, "I don't know what you're doing, but you need to keep it up." Because I got on that track, on that record. Because once you start to feel good, it's easier to start incorporating other things. That one small change. Now, I know eliminating gluten from your diet is not necessarily one small change, but that was my focus. How do I get rid of this wheat product that is obviously inflamed my body?
And I like what you said about feel good. Make and that you said it was in 3 weeks for you, which is wow. But in feeling good motivates you to continue because a lot of people will start, they feel better, but they don't look any different, you know, because our another thing here we're conditioned is, okay, how many pounds did you lose this week? And if you don't lose it right away, then they feel discouraged, like they haven't done anything. But I like what you say about feel good first.
Well, I do have to say, I looked in the mirror and I didn't think I changed any. I did not see that. It wasn't until people were saying to me and I compared two pictures and went, "Oh, I do less look a little less inflamed." Now, a year later, looked tons better. And it took me a year before I really started incorporating exercise. I mean, in the classroom, obviously, I didn't sit down very much. I did a lot of walking in circles, right? But I really started being very purposeful about my exercise and movement. And then that's when it really shifted. But it took a year of trying to work out. And like I said, I was still eating because I still hadn't gotten there yet. Highly processed foods. Well, now you have a lot of coaches. There's a lot of information. So you still can get very overwhelmed. Like, how do I start this? Which is what a coach would help you with. Talking with you, having you fill out forms and discussing. So, what do you normally eat? And just, be honest because we're looking for patterns. We're looking for food that loves you. Cauliflower is a healthy food. Awesome. I have to be very careful how much cauliflower I have in a day, or my gut blows up with bloating and it hurts and it's not good.
Okay, so
So, cauliflower is small for me.
listening to the body. And I think, yeah, a lot of us are listening to our eyes and our minds saying, okay, that looks good. I'll eat that. And then afterwards, you kind of, I know this experience, you kind of feel like, oh, that didn't feel so good. But at least I'm full so that I don't have to worry about finding what I'm going to eat later on, and I can continue at my job and so things like that. So it's more, I find many people, including myself, getting into, okay, I'm eating just to fill the space so that I can focus on other things.
Which is one of the things too, is noticing a pattern. So when I sit down to watch an episode of whatever you're watching right
You're
now,
putting
like
it
The Bear,
in.
that was the biggest one I just finished watching, was The Bear, right? So when I sit down to episode, what do I want to do? What do I want to grab? Well, chips, popcorn. So what can I replace that with, or what can I do instead? So if I was just starting my journey, I probably wouldn't want I
You wouldn't want to see the
popcorn. Well, but I could eat popcorn, but how I prepare it. How do I prepare it? Is it in the bag? What's on it? Yes, add some pink Himalayan salt on there because now you're giving your body a nutrient that it does need and it tastes good. But spray it with olive oil to get the salt to stick. You don't, I mean, use butter too. Real butter is a good thing, but we tend to overdo it because it's good. Where the olive oil still gives you that. With the salt, you're getting that yumminess. When I tend to sit down to, I have this snack and I adore it. And some of it came from what I did with my kids when they were young. So we have the apple cutter, you know, the one that cores and slices it into pieces. And I use that on the apple. So now I have apple chunks. I use my organic peanut butter that I put over, drizzle over top. Then I do a turmeric spice blend that I have. That helps with inflammation in your gut. I sprinkle that over that. And then I sprinkle a little bit of protein powder, about half a scoop, and dark chocolate chip over the top.
And
And
this
I
is your
sit and eat.
popcorn substitute. Wow.
And the turmeric has cinnamon in it. So that cinnamon is something I always did with my kids with apples and applesauce. So it For me, there's that memory of that with my children too.
How nice. Nice. So, baby steps, everyone. It can be done, but just the awareness that you do not have to change your entire lifestyle. You do not have to keep beating yourself over the head with don't eat this, don't eat that, don't other. Because I remember getting frustrated going to buffets or family picnics and dinners, and people would be at the buffet table saying, oh, I shouldn't this, I shouldn't that. And it's like, okay, if you don't want to eat it, don't, but please don't ruin the picnic or the dinner for all of us by preaching about how bad food is. Just let go and slowly change your eating habits one at a time.
Exactly.
All right. So thank you again, Melissa, for
Well,
joining
thank you.
us and enlightening us on the way that we can improve our gut health. I think this is very helpful for many ladies. And I want to just thank you again for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.